The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I want to preach tonight for just a few moments, the Lord helping me, on this title, A Matter of Trust. A Matter of Trust. Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight, then we'll dive into the Word of God. Our Father, thank you again for the blessing of the day. Thank you for bringing us here together. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of music that you've given us. Thank you that you've gifted individuals that they can play and sing and bring praise and honor to your name through song. And Lord, how it wraps our hearts and our minds around truths of Scripture and keeps them for many, many days to come, those songs that we've learned, even those that we've learned as a young child, we can still rehearse and sing about the goodness of you and all the things that you've done in and through our lives and what you want to do. And Lord, we pray tonight that you would open your word to us afresh and anew, that we would lean and trust upon you, that we would cling to you, not cling to what this world would offer or the ever-changing climate of society, but Lord, that we would stand upon the solid rock of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage our hearts tonight along those lines. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what we know you want to do. Lord, would you use us tonight? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in the Scripture, verse number 3, it says, put not your trust in princes. A matter of trust. Trust in the Old Testament is translated over it for the New Testament word faith or believe. It's found 152 times in the Old Testament, and the translation of the word in Hebrew signifies to take refuge, to lean on, to roll on, or to stay upon. There's so many things in our daily lives that we trust upon. I think of the very elementary things that we trust in. We get into our vehicles daily and we turn the key and we trust, and maybe not even knowing how the different things work, we trust that everything's going to take place as it's supposed to take place. That, and I don't know all the process that takes place. I know it has to do with oxygen and fuel and combustion and spark and all those things. But you turn the key in your vehicle and you just say, Lord, if you've driven an older vehicle for some time, maybe you remember this, you've turned the key and said, please, Lord, help it to start today. And there's times that, and you'll just turn the key and just trust that it's going to work. But then we've all been there when you turn the key and maybe the battery is dead or something has taken place there and you turn the key and nothing happens. Isn't that the worst feeling? Now, wives, they immediately have one thought. Where's my cell phone? Let me call my husband. Because from wherever distance he is away, he's going to know how to get it to start. Husbands, you ever been there? Your wife calls you and says, the car won't start. And you immediately say, what am I going to do about it from here? But no, we jump in the vehicle, we take off, and we get to you, and we try to get the vehicle started. My wife and I have had that happen several times over the course of our marriage with our vehicle, just the battery be dead and it won't start. And you don't think about those things until they don't work, until it's not reliable. I remember one of the things we trust in, we're all sitting tonight. Most of you are sitting tonight in a pew and it's holding you up. And so you're trusting in it. I remember years ago when we were still at Central, Mr. Becca may remember this, we were sitting in the fellowship hall. We were having a huge day. I mean, I think it was homecoming or something. And I mean, we had just, and not too distant past, we had built a new fellowship hall there at the church. And I mean, the place was just packed. I mean, shoulder to shoulder, every table full. We didn't have any more chairs, I don't think, that we could have pulled out. Everybody's sitting. Everybody's eating, having a great time fellowshipping. And I remember still standing in line waiting for food. And I remember all of a sudden, wham, somebody hit the floor. And we looked out and their chair had collapsed underneath them. Do you remember this? And all of a sudden, I kid you not, if it had not been so awful because it was such a special day, it would have been hilarious. Because one after another, people started dropping like flies. I mean, there was chairs just boom, 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 all over. And these chairs were fairly new. Well, be it said, we took most of those chairs back and got our money back because they were junk. I mean, they just started just hitting the floor one after the other. But you don't think about that when you go to sit in a chair. You think, oh, it's going to hold me. That's what it's made to do. But so often we place our trust in things, not even really thinking that we're placing our trust in it until it doesn't work for what it's supposed to. And here the scripture gives us a great reminder. It says, trust not in princes. Trust not in that breathes and takes in air just like we do. Don't place your trust in them. Look at verse number 4 again. I like this. It says, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Think about that for just a moment. The carnal man, the Bible here paints a beautiful picture. He says, he's breathing in and out over and over again. But no sooner, his thoughts are so meager in the reality of who God is and in the vastness of who God is. He says, his thoughts are so meager in response to that, that they literally perish before the day is out. They're so small. And he says here, he says, place not your trust in men, but he says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Don't you want to be happy? I believe it was, I don't know the time, but the statistics were that among hundreds of thousands of people that were polled, one of the top thing that everybody hoped for in their life was happiness. Money was pretty close to that, which they tie the two together a lot. They think happiness and money are sisters, and they bring about the desired effect from each. But most people, they want to be happy, and here the scripture says, happy is he who places his trust and places his hope in the Lord his God. And so tonight, I want to just encourage you from scripture, who are we placing our trust in? It's a matter of trust in our lives day in and day out. Number one, I see here about this matter of trust that praise prepares. Praise prepares for trust. Look at verse number 1. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. What is the origin of praise that we see? First of all, it says in Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. When's the last time you took a moment in your day and you just praised the Lord? When's the last time you woke up and you opened your eyes and you said, thank you, Lord. Thank you today in all of my being. Thank you today that you've given me another day of life. I don't know who the old saint was that down in Georgia for so many years, I'd heard a gentleman pray, and I cannot remember which one of them it was. There were so many godly saints we were able to learn from. But he used to pray, and every time he prayed, he'd say, thank you, God, for today. And he always closed his prayer the same way, too. I thought it was interesting. He said, thank you for who you are and all that you do in our lives. I picked that up. I probably say that a few times now as I pray because that stuck with me. But when is the last time that we stopped and we just praised the Lord? Lord, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you for everything that you've given me. Thank you for life, for breath, for health. So many tonight we'll talk about in a few moments that are in the hospital, those that are recovering from surgeries and different things. And that's another thing that we trust in. We trust our bodies are just going to keep working. Not too long ago, my mom faced a surgery. She had a partial blockage in the arteries in her neck, and that was earth-shattering for my mom. My grandmother had two strokes, and one of them she never quite recovered from. She was never quite the same afterward. And so when you get the news at the doctor, you've got a blockage such as that, that was earth-shattering to my mom. But many of you could say the same tonight. We trust in that our bodies are just going to keep operating the way they're supposed to. But when's the last time that we woke up and just said, Lord, thank you for letting me wake up today? That's the origin of our praise. It's in our soul. It's in our very being that we're praising our God. But the longevity of our praise as well. He says, while I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. My daughter and I were having an interesting conversation the other day, which we have often. But she walked outside, and we live in a townhouse, as I've mentioned, and we opened our garage door, and it was just raining, kind of like it is right now. She said, Dad, I'm so tired of rain. And I mean, you know what? You know why she's tired of rain? You know what, Miss Wendell? You know what rain means to Evie? That they've got to play inside for recess. That's a big deal in the second grade, okay? If you haven't heard, it's a big deal if you get confined to the indoor air-conditioned gymnasium, which adults, we love it. We say, please let it rain so we can stay inside. But, I mean, that's earth-shattering to her. And I said, Evie, and we had this conversation similar to what the text is talking about. I said, we can't just praise God when it's sunshine outside, but do we praise God when things are going wrong? When things are not as we would like them to be? Adults, how are we doing in that area? It's really easy to praise the Lord when things are going well, but what if the doctor gives bad news tomorrow? What if you look and the bank account doesn't look too healthy tomorrow? What if your kids misbehave tomorrow? Oh my goodness, that wouldn't happen. What if anybody in here, what if they don't do exactly what you think they ought to do? Are you still going to praise God? And the psalmist here, he says, as long as my body has breath, as long as I have life within my soul, within my body, I will praise the Lord. So praise prepares. But the second thing about this matter of trust is the source determines success. Look at verse number 3. It says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. The improper source, we see that, first of all, in those in leadership. You know, I'm thankful that God has preserved our country to this point. Are you? Say amen if you're thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful for the men and women who serve and protect our country day in and day out. I'm thankful for what God has allowed to be started here in the United States of America, that we can serve in freedom tonight, that we can worship in freedom before our God tonight. I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for all that has gone in to make that possible. But you know, if you pay attention, the culture and the climate of the things in our country, they rise and fall with the wind and with the change of opinion and with the change of leadership. They go up and they go down. Can I say, it's sad in my heart. I'll be the first to admit, I'm not into politics. I'm really not. If we had a political conversation, it would be the shortest conversation I've ever had, okay? Because it's just outside of my realm of thinking. I can't handle it. I think Brother Jay may have said this Sunday night when he was preaching. We turn the news on at our home for just a little bit when something is going on that we want to see, and then we turn it back off. Because I told my wife, literally, when was this, honey? Was this yesterday, I think? We were watching the local news, and I said, there was 4 stories that came on in about a 5-minute span. And I said, they really don't like to talk about anything good that goes on, do they? I mean, it was just one bad story after another. I mean, somebody got kidnapped. Somebody got, like, hit with a car. I mean, it was just one thing after another. And I thought, man, surely something good had to happen today. Somewhere, something good had to happen. But, you know, it changes, it fluctuates with those that are in leadership. And, you know, tomorrow, everything that we know as the United States of America could change. But, you know, as a believer, that changes nothing for me. In the grand scheme of things, that changes nothing for me. Because my hope and my trust is not in men, but it's in God. And the source of my trust, who is it placed in? And again, please don't get the idea tonight that I'm saying that I don't appreciate those who have served and those who are serving. But my hope's not in that. My hope is in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the source. It determines success. We see that those in leadership are not who we need to cling to. Our peers, those who would be common with us, those are not who we place our trust in. And if I can, this is kind of a lengthy list, but I want to give you this just straight from the text tonight, the proper source. Look at starting in verse number 5. I'll try to go through these as quickly as I can, but I want to make sure that you get them. Verse number 5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. The first thing I see here about the proper source is the Lord his God is the proper source. You say, well, that's pretty basic. That's what it says there in the text. When's the last time that we said, as the psalmist says here, that he has, that we have hope, or that we are happy? We talked, this is a circling theme, we talked about having joy Sunday morning. But happy is he who hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful tonight that the Lord is my God, the only God. You know, in recent days, there's been much talk, and I guess this would, I don't know how far back this would go, 15, 20 years. You didn't really hear, predating that, much about other religions, and especially Islam. You didn't hear a whole lot about it. I didn't, anyway. You didn't hear a whole lot about that being discussed, but people will start talking in recent days about Allah, and I had a gentleman tell me not too long ago that Allah and Jesus were the same person. They were just called different things. Folks, that's the farthest from the truth that we could ever get. Jesus Christ is the furthest thing away from Allah that you could ever get. But when's the last time in our proper source, finding the proper source of our trust, we thank God that He is, as the old saint said, He is who He is. He's the great I Am. He's our source of strength. But not only the Lord is God, but verse number 6, the Creator. Look at it in verse number 6. Which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. The proper source is the Creator. The third one is the righteous judge. In verse number 7, the first part, He says, which executeth judgment for the oppressed. But not only the righteous judge, but the provider of nourishment. Number 4, in the end of verse 7, He says, which giveth food to the hungry, the Lord looseth the prisoners. Folks, tonight I find great assurance in the fact that God is judging everything righteously, and God is inevitably the provider to the righteous. He's the provider of nourishment to those in need, and the freer of the captive. We see in the end of verse 7, the Lord looseth the prisoners. Aren't you thankful that we don't have to change the book for 2018? God is still freeing individuals from captivity. That's the proper source for our trust. And then number 6, the great physician. Look at it in verse number 8. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. Number 7, the lover. I already said that in verse number 7, or in verse number 8 there, but He's the lover of the righteous. Number 8, He's the guide for the needy. Look at verse number 9. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked He turneth upside down. And that's number 9, the great equalizer for the evil. Can you imagine that? Picture that in your mind. We get so consumed as Christians with, I've got to make this thing right. Years ago, and I won't say who, but years ago, a good godly counsel of mine told me, he said, Kyle, he said, you don't have to prove that you're right. And you don't have to prove that you didn't do something wrong. I didn't always understand that, but as I read over this text, it made a whole lot of sense. He says, the Lord will turneth the way of the evil upside down. He will make everything right. He will make everything correct. When's the last time you were at work, or kids maybe at school? When was the last time that somebody took something you said as a believer and they twisted it? And they made it to be something that you didn't say, something you didn't mean. They made it something hurtful and you thought, I've really got to make sure that everybody knows I really didn't say that. God here, He tells us, I'll turn the way of the evil upside down. You don't have to take care of any of it. I'll take care of all of it. And that's all part of me putting my faith and my trust in the proper source, because He's the great equalizer for the evil. So we see in this, we see that praise prepares, the source determines the success. If it's the improper source, we're not going to have success. But the proper source, and in that list of 9 things that I gave you tonight, just walking through Scripture and giving it straight out of the text tonight, you know what all that means? God is the provider for everything that I need. That's pretty basic tonight, but God is the provider for everything that I need. No matter what area of my life that I think. And Lord, help us to never think, you know, I don't think I can give God control in this area. I think I've got to figure it out. So Jeff and I were just talking about this the other day. In our minds, and maybe, I don't know if this is more male-related, or if it's everybody that's the same. But so often we think, okay, if I could figure why this equals this, and if I could figure out this scenario and how I could perfectly fit it in, if I could just figure everything in life just perfectly out, then it'd all be okay. And I'm finding so much more, Brother Mark, as I get older and older, I'm figuring out that I knew less and less all the time. But what I'm figuring out about the Christian life the longer I go is the less I try to figure out, except for the more I try to learn about my Savior and the closer I try to get to my Savior, the more He just shows me, says, this is the plan. This is what you need to be doing. This is where I want you to walk. It's a matter of trust. Have I placed my trust? Have I placed my daily existence? Have I placed it upon the proper source? Or have I placed it upon the improper source and placing it in those that are in charge and those that are my peers as I walk throughout my life? Number three tonight, not only does the source determine success, but the conclusion here in verse number 10 is complete. Look at verse number 10. It says, the Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. I'll read it again. The Lord shall reign forever. Take a moment just to grasp the reality of that. The Lord shall reign forever. You know, I didn't find in the text of Scripture that it said, and I'm about to exhaust what I know about the subject, I didn't read that it said the Lord will reign as long as the Republicans rule the House. It doesn't say that. The Scripture didn't say the Lord will reign as long as everything's going right in my eyes, in the world. You know, there's so many things that we could focus on day in and day out that could really discourage if we allowed it to. Today, I would venture to say in a crowd this size, it's probably immeasurable how many times today the devil has tried to frustrate or discourage you already. And tried to say, in your mind, why are you even trying? Look at all that is going wrong in the world. Why are you even fighting it? And Scripture, just like this, in verse number 10, gives us the hope that the Lord shall reign forever. No matter what's going on, no matter what the climate of the day is, the Lord shall reign forever. Folks, honestly, tonight, one of the basic things as a believer is the Christian life is a matter of trust. You know, I have rejoiced time and time again. Our daughter made a profession of faith last year to trust Christ as her Savior. And we just rejoiced over that. But it's so, you know all of these things, but when you have kids of your own, things take on such a different meaning than they ever have before. But I have rejoiced so many times from the time Evie made her profession of faith to now that God made salvation so simple. Aren't you thankful for that? That even a child can understand, hey, this is how you can spend eternity in heaven. And you know what the crazy thing is? They just believe it. They don't have to figure it out. They don't have to figure out why this equals this or why it makes logical sense. They just believe it. And that's how God designed it to be. But somewhere along the line, from the time I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior in childlike faith, from the time that I accept Him until the day that He decides my time on earth is done, somewhere along the line, if we're not careful, we lose that. We lose that childlike faith that just trusts and believes in God for what we need on a daily basis. And you say, if I can figure it out, then it'll all make sense. If I can just figure it out, it'll all work. You know, I've stood on the doorstep of individuals or sat in individuals' homes. And can I tell you, I witnessed to them, I gave them Scripture, and I did it all in my flesh. You say, what do you mean by that? because I got to the end and I've thought this before, and I'm ashamed to say it tonight in front of you. I've thought, you know what? I did a pretty good job that time. I remembered all the verses. I remembered all the cool illustrations that tie it all together. I did a great job in witnessing to that person tonight. And you can look into their eyes and you can see they didn't get it. It scratched the surface. And then I've been in, and this, I tell you, as a preacher, this hits me time and time again. I get done preaching and I think, man, I did a good job tonight. Lord, are you proud of me? I preached so good. You say, preachers think that? Yeah, we're sinners too. We get done and we say, man, I think I did pretty good tonight. You know, that's all in our flesh. And then the times I have left the platform and said, God, I'm so sorry. That was awful. That's when I get the letters and the text saying, thank you for preaching what you did this morning. It helped me so much. And you know, God has to do that to me over and over and over again until I learn, you know what? Just trust in God. Trust in God for what we need day in and day out. Folks, are we trusting the Lord with everything? Not just we trusted Him with salvation, but are we trusting Him with the little things? On a daily basis, are we trusting God for what we need? Let's pray together tonight. Father, help us to trust You.